Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. Really, the title will be When Does Thanksgiving Stop? And the thought is this, is when do we quit giving thanks to the Lord? And so Joshua is writing at the end of the book here, reminding them some things they should be doing so they would continue to be thankful, and then that would lead from thankfulness to faithfulness. And so really that's our goal today, is to be faithful to the Lord and recognizing that. So there's some great things in this passage that really speak about those things we can be thankful for, some things we should do to cause us to remain faithful to the Lord. So let me read to you out of the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. And really want to start, therefore, in verse 14. Here's what it says, Joshua 24, beginning in verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land that you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is he that has brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and a ordinance in Shechem, and wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under the oak, which was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord, which he spake unto us, and it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Father, we come before you, we say thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us reminders of how we should live. It gives us a reminder of your faithfulness to us and gives us reminders that we should be faithful to you. So, Lord, today I just pray that you would stir us, move us, help us to be thankful, and in turn be faithful. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness again to all that hear your word. I pray that you would convict us, lead us, and guide us to be a people that draw close. And thank you, Lord, again for that promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, I think I've told you the story about Dennis and Teresa Dowling. Dennis is one of our deacons. They came to visit at the hospital several years back. And so they're on the top floor, and they're making fuller and fuller. And Dennis finds himself kind of pressed up against this good-looking blonde lady. Well, Teresa noticed that he looked a little too happy about that. So when the elevator got down to the bottom floor and the doors opened up, she turned around and slapped him in the face and said, that'll teach you not to pinch me. And you can tell it's going to be a long walk back to the car. Dennis gets about halfway to the car and says, I promise I did not pinch that young girl. And Teresa said, I know you didn't, honey. I did. Sometimes we need some things to wake us up, amen? Sometimes we need things to change our thought process, that we be focused on the right things. And I think when you read the book of Joshua, you find out in the last chapter, Joshua is just writing to the people and say, hey, you need to have a different mindset. You need to have a mindset that focuses on God and what he's done, so you will remain faithful. And so today, as we kind of leave this idea of Thanksgiving, we look back in our nation, we've been blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. But if we're not careful, we'll kind of go away from where God wants us to be. You know, I preached this passage several times about on the 4th of July, or Independence Day, about how we as a nation should follow these things. And I thought, you know, we need to go back and look at this passage and kind of be directed in a little different way, but recognize that we should be thankful continually so we will be faithful continually. So what can we do? Notice the first thing. There, we should reverence the Lord. We should reverence the Lord. And by the way, I didn't really develop my outline because I had to turn it in by Tuesday instead of by Friday. And so you just have to put in the missing blanks as we go. Notice, we should fear the Lord. The Bible says this in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord." That word fear is yare in the Hebrew. It means, yes, a dreadful fear, but also a great respect. And so we recognize what fear is. If you maybe out there in the woods or you see a big rattlesnake, you instantly draw back. There's a great fear. And in one sense, this is the word they would use for that, to recognize there's something that is possibly dangerous, something that you need to make sure you're not close to, something that is greater than yourself. And that's the idea when Joshua says, fear the Lord. We must recognize and fear. We must recognize and understand that a holy fear of God is one of great respect and awe of who and what God is. The Deuteronomy writer writes this in chapter 10, verse 12. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul." Samuel writes this in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth and with all your heart, and consider how great things he has done for you." And so we must fear the Lord. We must respect him with a great awe. You say, what should we respect about him? Well, notice first, we could do a whole bunch of things. But one, we should respect or fear God's punishment. The idea that God is almighty, and when you go astray, God can kind of rein you back in through his hand of chastity. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in spirit and truth, and consider how great things he has done for you. But if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both ye and your king." Well, that's not a popular verse, but I'm telling you, it shows the power of God. It shows his great punishment for those that say they are his and yet turn away. Matter of fact, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And so Jesus said, basically, fear God alone. And so I'm afraid that sometimes our fear of God is not as it should be. Matter of fact, when you get caught up in sin, if you're doing things you should not do, you're not worried about what other people think sometimes. You may be thinking, well, if they find out, then, well, what's the big deal? We should really be worrying about what God thinks, because God is the great punisher. God is the great one that can bring us down, not anybody else. We need to have a great fear of God's punishment. We need to have a great fear of God's power and provision. The Bible tells us that God is the maker of all things. He spoke and the world came into existence. Now, that's power that we refer to as the creator power. He's also the redeemer. And so when we begin to look at God, we recognize that he is the only way that can redeem us. He is the only one that can save us. Acts 4:12, it says this, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And so we know that we ought to fear God or respect God, because he's the only thing that gives us life and can give us eternal life. We should fear him. We need a reverent fear of God's permanence. You know, sometimes you can outlive your enemies. Sometimes you can outlast people. Sometimes you can live long enough and overcome things. But I'm telling you, you cannot overcome. God never dies. You cannot outlive him. You cannot outlast him. God's plan always prevails. We should fear the Lord. We should have great respect. So what does this fear do for us? We could talk about one, it reveals wisdom. The psalmist said in Psalms 111:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever." And so we look around and look at this world, we think about those that don't fear God. Matter of fact, we sometimes look at those scientists, those atheists and scientists, and we say, man, those are pretty smart guys. But let me remind you some of the things they are teaching today. Those atheistic scientists that believe in an evolution creation, they say this, that there was nothing at one point, and then nothing became something, and something exploded, and then everything came from something that exploded from nothing. Now, does that make sense? No. How much easier is it to believe that there was a God who created everything by a spoken word? I tell you, I fear, and because of that, I believe it reveals wisdom in our lives. We must fear him also because in our fear, it reveals Him who is our helper. The psalmist said in Psalms 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Do you want God to reveal those things to you that fear Him? Do you want God to reveal Himself to you in an ever greater way? Fear Him. Respect Him is what I'm trying to say. When you begin to have the fear of the Lord, God opens your eyes and your mind to who He is. The psalmist said in Psalms 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him and upon them that hope in His mercy. Psalm 31:19, oh, how great is Thy goodness which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Him. 2 Kings 17:39, but the Lord your God ye shall fear, and He shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. When we fear Him, God reveals Himself as that great helper of who He is. His mercy and grace is truly upon us. A few more. Psalms 115:13, He will bless them that fear Him, both small and great. Psalms 147:11, the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear Him and those that hope in His mercy. And so He reveals Himself, and we have wisdom. He reveals Himself as the helper, but also in fear, it reveals who we are. When we have that proper respect of God, we understand that we are not God, that God is God, and we get this great idea that we can respond to the call of God. I'm telling you, fear reveals who we are. Fear helps us to recognize our sin, and we can go and repent of our sins and our wickedness. It is through fear we have resolve after that to live a life that pleases the Lord. Joshua said, fear the Lord. So the question today before I move on, who and what do you fear or respect today? Who or what do you give great reverence to? Does that fear or reverence cause you respond to the call of God? Joshua understood that we needed the fear of the Lord. So we should have great reverence to the Lord, but secondly, we should remember His past benefits. And so Joshua is going to give a whole bunch of things in this last chapter about what God has done. And so we should recognize the hand of God in every part of our life as they did in their life. Matter of fact, when you read verses 5 through 7, let me just read a few of these. God's speaking to Joshua, and Joshua's telling this what took place. He says, I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according which I did among them, and afterwards I brought you out. How about verse 12? I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out, which were before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with the sword nor with the bow, and I have given you the land which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. How about verse 17? For the Lord your God, it is He that have brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all in the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from all the people from before us, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Over and over they recognized that God had done something great in their past, and we should do the same. We should remember how the Lord has blessed us. Let me say that again. We should remember how the Lord has blessed us. James writes in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James says this, that if it was good, it came from God. That if it was good, that God did it. If it was good, that the Father above sent it to us. And we ought to recognize and remember that it came from God. The psalmist said in Psalms 107, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom you have redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let me just ask you, if God's blessed you in the past, would you say amen? I'm going to say it again. If God's blessed you in the past, would you say amen? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So many times we recognize His blessings, but we fail to share them. Jonathan Oatman in 1897 wrote these familiar words, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I wonder, will we take some time on a regular basis and look at those great blessings that God has poured out time and time again? We should remember that they came from Him. Robert Robertson in 1758 writes these, perhaps one of my favorite songs. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. They needed to be thankful for the blessings, and so should we. They need to understand. You say, well, what did the Lord actually do for them? Well, it's the same thing he does for us. Let me go back a little bit and let you see some detailed things. One, the Lord heard their prayers and answered them. If you go to verse 7, it says this, and when they cried unto the Lord. Now, that goes all the way back to the book of Joshua. And even before that, in the book of Exodus, God heard the cries, God heard the prayers of his people, and God responded. Oh, my friends, I'm telling you, I'm here to testify today that God surely answers prayers, and I am so thankful. God heard them and answered those prayers. Number two, the Lord never forsook them in the wilderness, even when they failed to follow as they should. Let me read that again. The Lord never forsook them in the wilderness, even when they failed to follow as they should. You know the story when you read this Exodus. God's got them. He goes from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob finally makes his way to Egypt. They're there for about 400 plus years, 430 years. God hears their cry and then moves them out. They have the 10 plagues there in Egypt. They go through the Red Sea. They get to the edge of the wilderness. They're going to march on. They got about an 18-day march to the Promised Land. All they got to do is do it. And then when they get to the edge of the Promised Land, they send out spies. And lo and behold, the spies come back, and the spy says, we can't do this. And so they believed the spies rather than the voice of God. And God said, have some time to think about it. Go stand in the corner for 40 years. Have you ever done something and not done God's will? And you're thinking, man, God's just going to forsake me and leave me and just turn me aside. Aren't you glad God doesn't say, well, you've done it now. See ya, buddy. I don't want anything to do with you. No, for the next 40 years, God is faithful. He provides and provides and provides, even when they were in a time of being unfaithful. I can testify today as well as you can. There's been some times in all of our lives when we were unfaithful, yet God did not forsake us. Man, we ought to be a thankful people to recognize how good that is. We should be full of praises to the Lord. The third thing I want you to see, the Lord went before them and fought their battles. Not only did he not forsake them, and not only did they hear their cries and prayers, but he went before them to fight their battles. Verse 12 says, I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. Now, you may not know the background, but the Amorites were a special people living in the Promised Land. They were the people that held the strongholds there. These are the people that somehow devised a way to melt iron or melt metals, and they alone had metal utensils. They had the swords. They had the spears, but not the rest of the world. These Amorites, man, they had it going on as far as military might. And yet God says, I'm going to send and go before you. And so sometimes you walk into a city and nobody would be there. Why? Because he said, I sent the hornets before you. About 2 weeks ago, I was climbing up early morning into my deer stand, and I got to the very top there, and I got a nice comfortable seat, but for some reason there's lots of leaves. I guess I hadn't been there a little bit, and so I was just going to dump the leaves out. Now remember, this is pitch black. Now I got my little headlight on there, and I flipped the seat back, and lo and behold, now it wasn't hornets, but there was a big pile of red wasps. Amen. Now I thought, well, that's 20 foot up. It's too far to jump. What am I going to do now? Amen. I'm telling you, I wanted to back away real hurriedly. Now, thankfully, it was a little bit cold, and I finally got them worked out. I convinced them that they'd rather grow on than I had. And so I got to hunt a little bit. But I'm telling you, those wasps, they want to back up. And what he's saying is that God is sending the hornets into those cities to run people out. So when the people of Israel march in there, they say, where's everybody at? God had provided a victory even before they got there. Can I tell you in our lives today that God provides for us way more than we can ever imagine? Sometimes people say, well, that just kind of worked out. Let me just tell you, God worked that out. He is a working out God. And we ought to praise his name daily. They recognize, or at least Joshua did, that God went before them and fought their battles. Now, you may be here thinking, well, I'm not really a believer in God, and things have worked out pretty good for me. I really don't trust God, but things are doing okay. let me just share a few verses for you to recognize that God wants you to believe because of those blessings. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Can I encourage you to recognize that God blesses both kinds of people, those that are not his and those that are his. And for those that don't know him, God wants to bless you so that your eyes may be open to see the goodness of God and respond to his call. Matter of fact, there's going to be a day coming when you stand before the Lord, and it's not going to be good if you've never accepted him, because he's going to say, I sent you this and this and this and this, and you did not say yes. Jeremiah chapter 17 says this, verse 11, as the partridge sits on the eggs and hatches them not, so that he that gets riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and his end shall be a fool. All I'm trying to say is, you can have all these great things, and you think that you don't need God. In the end, it's going to be a testimony against you as you stand before him on the day of judgment, and God's going to say, I gave you this, and yet you would not say so. What a sad day that would be to not be thankful and respond to God. So I wonder, would you take a moment and count your many blessings? Would you confess those blessings that they came from the Lord himself? God has blessed us so much more than we deserve. We should praise his name, like the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Here's the third thing that we need to see, not just the reverence, and not that we should just remember our past benefits, but thirdly, we should be ready to serve the Lord. That we should be ready to serve the Lord. Now, there's going to be a lot of things here. Notice verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Verse 24, and the people said unto Joshua, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Serve the Lord. That means do his will. I've heard some say, well, I would die for the Lord. Well, how about live for him? Some say, I would give my life for the Lord. Well, how about live for him day by day? That's what Joshua's saying. Live for the Lord. Serve him. So let me remind you, true service starts with a choice. True service starts with a choice. Verse 15 says this, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. Service starts with this idea that I will choose to humble myself and follow God's word, that I will humble myself and obey his voice. Isaiah 45, 22, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. Why read that? Because I believe God wants everyone to be in his will. I believe that God wants everybody to obey his voice. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so God wants you to be in his will. But many are not. Why? Because they did not choose to be in his will and obey. Joshua 24, 23. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Incline. That means one of my favorite things to do on a Sunday afternoon is I get home, I get something to eat, and now that I'm getting about Dennis's age, amen, I go and I sit down in my recliner, amen. It's a kind of a long sofa couch, and recline my feet just to lay back. Man, that recliner gets a hold of me. I put all my weight. That's exactly what he's speaking about here. Incline yourself. Rest in Christ Jesus. Rest in the will of God. So he said, incline your heart. So you have a choice to make today, to follow him or not. The writer of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8 says this, now be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may be turned away from you. Incline yourself to the Lord. So service, true service, starts with a choice to do so. Also, true service is done with conviction. True service is done with conviction. Again, verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him, notice this, in sincerity and in truth. That means just do it with all that you are, not half-heartedly. Remember last week, if you were here last week, I spoke about a half-hearted apology. Do you know if there's a wrong and you give a half-hearted apology, you say, I'm sorry. Man, that doesn't do anything. A half-hearted apology is not good. A half-hearted service is not good either. we must serve him with all that we are. Matter of fact, Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters, for you will hate the one or love the other, else you will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I wonder today, will our service to God with great sincerity and truth, that we truly serve him with all that we are. There's been a problem with God's people all through the ages with that same thing. The writer of 1 Kings says this in chapter 18, verse 21. These are the words of Elijah. And Elijah came into all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Let us come today and recognize that God wants us to serve him with sincerity and truth. In other words, serve him with all we are, that we put him not just as a priority, but the number one, that he is our life, that we should simply live for him. True service starts with a choice. True service is done with conviction, but also true service must be consistent. Again, verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord, choose you this day. Now, I want to kind of harp on that idea, this day. This day. I mean, every day. Have you ever seen an inconsistent person? Let's get away from a person. Maybe an inconsistent, not to bring up bad, but an inconsistent football team. Or an inconsistent quarterback. And you know you're watching this and you're going, oh my goodness, what are they doing? At one moment they look like the world champions, the Heisman Trophy candidate. And the next moment it's like, oh. And then I thought, well, I wonder what God thinks about my life and our life. We were on fire at times, living for the Lord, doing great things. And the next moment, we're so inconsistent. We're living for ourselves. And I wonder if God said, oh, my goodness, what are they doing? There's a path for victory, a path for blessings, a path that God has for us. And yet, in our inconsistency, we simply miss the mark. How to be consistent, maybe is a better thought. Remember, choose this day. Choose daily. Every morning is a new day. Choose him today, and then get up in the morning, choose him tomorrow, and then get up the next day, choose him that day, and the next day, choose him this day. I will serve the Lord. It starts again with this idea of choice. I will choose him daily. But also notice this, that choice is not dependent on others. That choice is dependent only on you. Again, let me read verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But notice, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, I don't care what you do, but me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't care which direction you go, but me, I'm going to do God's will. A consistent life is not based on somebody else. A consistent life is not based on others. A consistent life is based on my choice. And I don't care what anybody else does, but I am going to serve the Lord. I wonder, will you come to a point where you recognize and understand you don't have to go along with the crowd, just simply go along with God. Don't go along with the majority, but go along with the God Almighty that can do all things. I wonder, will we get to that point to choose him daily? Now, I'm telling you, there's going to be some negative and positive things if you don't. And let me just tell you, because I think it's important. If you're inconsistent, there's going to be some chastisement. Notice verse 19, Joshua 24. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord. So he's just said, man, you need to serve the Lord. And people said, man, we're going to serve him. And Joshua says, no, you cannot serve the Lord. For he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after he have done you good. Joshua just reminds them that you're all in. You can't be wishy-washy. Why? Because as a father chastises his children, so the Lord will chastise those like that. We need to recognize that God wants us to do good. And when we have been given great things, God requires great things. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. But unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. To whom men have committed much, of him they will ask more. And so we need to recognize and understand that if we don't serve the Lord, when we say there's a great chastisement. But also know this, when we serve him as we should, it will cause others to be faithful. Verse 21 says this, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. You know what they were saying? They saw Joshua, they recognized the faithfulness, they recognized his desire, they recognized that he wanted to serve the Lord. And that faithfulness, that thankfulness of Joshua spurred the people where they said, we too will serve the Lord. I'm telling you, when you do good, when you live for the Lord, I'm telling you, others do the same. When you become a picture of faithfulness, others want to be involved as well. So let me move on. Is your life a picture of faithfulness? Does the fear of the Lord lead you to choose daily and to serve him? Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. Well, quickly, here's the last thing. We should reverence the Lord. We should remember his past benefits. We should be ready to serve. But lastly, we should have a reminder of our oath. If you say yes to the Lord, you need a reminder. Joshua 26 says this, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto you. For as heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us, it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Joshua said, I'm going to give you a reminder. Anybody else like reminders? My wife likes reminders because she leaves me little reminders all the time. Amen. She puts them on the bathroom window. She puts them out going out the front door. She puts them at the back door. If there's something I need to do, man, she leaves a little reminder that, hey, I probably need to do this. I like reminders because it reminds me that there's something that needs to be done. That's exactly what Joshua was saying. We need a reminder. You say, well, he did some unusual things. Well, notice what he did that we have. Joshua 24:26. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. Let me just stop right there. He wrote them down. It was scripture. And it reminded them of two things. One, it reminds us and them of what the Lord requires. It just said, here's what God did, and here's what God said he's going to do. It reminds us that God is faithful. But it also reminds us that we have a responsibility to follow. That we have a responsibility to pick up the Word of God and live it out. I wonder today, is that you? I wonder, would you recognize that God wants you to be a people reminded daily of his Word, living out and fleshing out those words that others may know who the Lord is. Joshua called the people to surrender, to be thankful, to be faithful. And so the Lord calls us to do the same thing. In order to continue to receive blessings, they had to be. In order to be a witness to the rest of the world around them, they had to be a faithful follower of the Lord. And so the Lord calls us today to do the same thing. Somebody wrote these words years ago. You are writing a gospel, a chapter a day by the deeds you do and the words you say. Men read what you write, whether faithful or true. Just what is the gospel according to you? All that means is this. If you say you're a believer, does your life line up with the Word of God and others see that it is so? Or does it? I wonder today, can you truly say, I'm living for the Lord. He has blessed me, therefore I will bless him with my life. If not, why not today say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will call upon you and let you do great things with me. I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment and think about your life. It all starts with reverence and the fear of the Lord. It all starts with this idea that you are not God and he is, and you surrender to him. If you've never done that again, why not say yes to him? Why not in the moment right now, recognize today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of choice. Today is the day that I will choose you because you have chosen me. Reverence the Lord today. If you need to make that public, why not walk to the front as we sing in a few minutes and say, Brother Paul, I've responded to the call of God. I want to serve and fear him. For others of you, we failed to remember his past benefits. We have not simply looked back and given him the name or the praise that he deserves. For others, we are not ready to serve. We're so pulled back with our own time and our own things. How about a reminder of an oath that God has given us a responsibility to share his love to others and to simply reach out to the world? I'm telling you, God reminds us in his Bible that we ought to follow him. And if you're here today and need to do that for the first time, or need to pray at this altar, or need to join this church so that you can serve, the invitation's open. Why not respond? Choose this day to follow the Lord. Choose this day to fear him as you should. God's calling. I wonder where you come. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for your word that reminds us of who you are, reminds us of our responsibility, that reminds us of grace and blessings and what you have done in the past, and helps us to look forward to that great day we'll meet you. Lord, I pray that you move mightily amongst us as your people, that you convict us, guide us, and lead us. Help us, Father, to do all these things in your name, the name we pray that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.